Struggling to keep track of your story and world? Archivos is for you. More intuitive than a wiki, more extensible than Scrivener, Archivos builds your story bible into your personal, always-on tactical display. Graphical relationship charting, continuity tools, this thing has it all, with bonus options for fan engagement and real-time collaboration. I don't recommend tools I don't use, guys, and this one is good enough that even Open Source Me is using it for one of his projects instead of my trusty old wiki. Archivos. Story world management done right. www.archivos.digital. That's www.archivos.digital. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 765.
Today we hear from Tim, who asks...
Dean Wesley Smith talks about writing into the dark in his book by that same name. I love that book, and I'm curious as to how you personally discover your stories. Do you outline? What books have you written into the dark?
Ooh, good question. And for me, the answer actually varies. It depends on the kind of story I'm writing, and particularly how complicated I expect it to be at the beginning, and also whether I'm doing any structural experiments. So let's start off with the extreme outlining version of things. For this, we look at Down from 10, which started off as a television miniseries, so it had certain structural requirements. Unfortunately, it was a television miniseries that never got produced. One of these days, maybe we'll get to do it. It would be really, really fun. Though it would probably now be a period piece as well, so it might have to be updated. But hey, maybe it would be good as a period piece. Anyway, so there were very distinct structural requirements. There were going to be 10 episodes, each one covering a day of the story, each one needing to take place over the course of an hour. So a lot of the way the book is structured is because it follows that structure. Now, I did do a little bit of swapping around when I adapted it to a novel so that I could shorten the action right around the climax to really intensify the suspense and the payoff. But because I had to fill 10 hours, you know, in a way that would pull people through, and it's basically a book full of conversations, basically a story filled with conversations. It's all interpersonal drama. There's almost no action in it at all. And up to that point, I had only ever written action-heavy stories, except when I was doing just an ambiance piece and it was very short. I had to actually go through and outline in screenplay format how I was going to touch on each character's story going through every day and structure the touches in the story, which meant I was arranging the geography of the characters. Geography is really important in Down from 10. I was arranging the geography of the characters so that this person would bump into that person before they bumped into that person, and then charting it almost like doing a series of eight miniature epics, because there's eight main characters. Eight miniature epics going through the geography of this house. So that was outlined not really to within an inch of its life, but it was outlined index card fashion. So every scene, basically I got ideas for conversations that I wanted different characters to have to reveal parts of their character, to challenge parts of their character, and then I also had a stack of ideas for art projects that these people can do while they're snowed in this chalet over the course of 10 days, and also then I had a stack of things they would need to do for survival. Each one was an index card with a sentence on it that described the scene, and I arranged those around until I came up with a progression that worked for all the different concerns I was trying to hit and seemed to maintain dramatic and character arcs all the way through with the proper tension, release, cliffhanger, tension, release, cliffhanger, tension, release, cliffhanger for each of the 10 episodes of the show. Then when I went to novelize it, I basically took that same arc and just dropped it into the novel, at which point I discovered it didn't quite work. And so I had to do a little shuffling around of things. shaving things off. I think there were two scenes that I really liked that wound up getting sacrificed because they did double duty work once I got into the novel format and started writing the interior lives of the characters instead of just the dialogue. So I had to sacrifice some things. I added a couple of things and in different places to sort of balance it out so the dramatic arc fit the book more. And then I chopped the chapters up anywhere I found a good cliffhanger because having one chapter covering one day was just running too long. So I decided to do, because there's a lot of mythological stuff going on in the background about the creation of the universe and the nature of humans' relationship to the universe, and these are the things the characters are arguing about, I took a cue from the book of Genesis where the poem ends each stanza with "there was evening and morning the first day, there was evening and morning the second day, etc." And I transposed that into the chapter structure of Down from Ten. So I've got evening and morning, actually starts off afternoon, but I've got afternoon, evening, night, morning as the designations for each chapter in addition to the chapter titles. So that allowed me to adapt the screenplay into the novel, but way more outlining than I normally do. The next most outline-heavy book was Free Will, which is not available publicly right now because it's part of the Antithesis progression, which is now becoming the Cabrican Ascendancy. Turned out to be a much bigger story than I thought it was when I first started publishing it, and turns out that there's a lot of continuity stuff I have to tweak, which is why I pulled it from the market. But that one was also really, really intensely plotted, because there's 10 main characters over the course of 250,000 words, and the whole thing plays like a thriller. It's breakneck all the way through. And maintaining those tension arcs while I was doing some massive, massive plot things was something that, at the time I wrote it, I was not up to doing by the seat of my pants. And because it happens in graft time, it sticks to a calendar because it deals with future historical events. I actually worked out on a calendar where each character was geographically on each day, mapped out their arcs, figured out where I needed to have them crossing, made sure that I could get them into the same place on the same day, and then I realized that the story I was going to tell wasn't going to be interesting if I told it all the way straight through, because there was such a slow burn on about half of the storylines. However, I realized that those storylines intersected with some of the smaller storylines that were quicker burn, and so if I pulled something like Tolkien did in Lord of the Rings, where I just sectioned off certain characters and didn't deal with them from big chunks of the book, and then concentrated their story arcs into separate sections, I would be able to maintain breathless tension throughout the whole book. So that's what I did. Even though the whole thing is tightly plotted to the calendar, the way that it wound up being told jumps around a little bit. And when we're in certain storylines, they're moving at a different pace calendar-wise than others. So we'll go from dealing with Percy and his storyline in October back to dealing with Joss and Allie's storyline in December, and back and forth like that. And that allowed me to put pieces into place in a way that obscured what was coming, but not in a way that was illegitimate. And it seemed to work really well for the people who read the book, which is one of the reasons I'm sorry it's pulled from the market right now. But it will come back as The Hartman Gambit, which I'm actually working on. I'm working on the continuity fixes for it right now, which means the first three books in that series are going to be done by the end of next month. And then I've just got to write the last three books. So hopefully this year, next year. Anyway, soon, sometime soon, it'll all be done. So that's the extreme plotting end. I've never outlined. The closest I've gotten to outlining is that. It's the graphing and, yeah, I used Gantt charts and stuff. The graphing and the index card method. Outlining I found way too oppressive from the get-go because I've written far more nonfiction than I've ever written fiction. I can actually write nonfiction almost in my sleep. As you may be able to tell from listening to this podcast, which is all being done off the top of my head without a crib sheet, which is normally how I work unless it's a question that I've had to go research the answers for, so I've got notes because it's something that's out of my normal wheelhouse. I figure if I get caught out in an error, it's better just to admit that it was an error instead of posing like I knew what I was talking about, because that's the way you learn. And aside from that, I wouldn't have the time to do this podcast if I was making up notes for everything anyway, at least not daily. I'd probably have to do it like weekly, which would be less fun. Now, that's the extreme outlining version of what I do. The other extreme that I cover is writing completely into the dark. This is most of my short stories, with the exception really of Cold Duty, I think. This is all of the Lantham novels, with the exception that in the Lantham novel, I usually know what the solution is. But not always. Actually, I say that, but now that I'm thinking about it, I only knew the solution to He Ain't Heavy, Silent Victor, and actually that's it. So He Ain't Heavy and Silent Victor are the only two I wound up knowing the solution to, meaning that they're the only ones where the solution didn't change in the course of writing the book. So the Lantham mysteries are almost totally by the seat of my pants. The Suave Rob stories sit somewhere in the center, meaning that Suave Rob is much more of a connect-the-dots type of thing. To do a Suave Rob story, I need the stunt they're going to do. I need some idea of the end point, the ultimate goal of the story, even if Rob doesn't know. And I need a bar fight. Suave Rob has to have those three elements in it to really be a Suave Rob book. So each one of those starts off with that. And there's a few other structural rules I've got, like the objective for the whole story needs to be stated in the first chapter, almost in a sentence. In the first, and it's usually a thematic objective that Rob mistakes for a practical objective, but that's Rob. So with Rob, I've got a picture in my head. It's sort of a vague picture, the nature of which I'm articulating as I write the story. I'm exploring a concept in the zaniest way possible. The other standalone novels I've done, like The Resurrection Junket, Ideas Incorporated, those kind of work in the middle somewhere, in that sort of Robbish area. And then that leaves Hadrian's Flight as the outlier. Hadrian's Flight I wrote in 20 days, because I needed a book to fill a bundle. It turned out to be one of my favorite books, and that one was written half completely into the dark. I started off with an idea that I wanted to tell the story of a kid who was a refugee from a war and who liked doing wingsuit flying, like you see in Heinlein's The Menace from Earth, in which I've now totally appropriated for my universe, because there's wingsuit competitions in the Suave Rob books, and the wingsuit flying stand that Hadrian's family runs shows up all over the place in that universe. But that was what I started off with. That was basically all I knew was going to happen, until I realized about a third to two-thirds of the way through that I needed a MacGuffin. Because what had happened was Hadrian has evacuated. He's this lone refugee. He's been separated from his uncles and cousins that were escorting him out of the war zone. And then he starts getting all sorts of attention that you wouldn't normally expect him to get. Or, you know, it's not so over the top that it seems completely unnatural, but it's just a little bit too much. And it occurred to me that the reason that he was getting attention was that for some reason, he was a means to an end for somebody. He was targeted, because it was feeling to me like a con game. And at that point, I had to sit down and figure out what might be special about Hadrian in terms of his social position or his network of friends, or what he knows about his hometown that's currently involved in a war, that might be worth the trouble of targeting him and befriending him and conning him on an interplanetary liner? Or could it just be a cash grab type of con? Well, I toyed with the cash grab idea. And at this, remember, I wrote this book over 20 days. We're at about day 7. About 20 days, and at about day 10, I ground to a halt because this was all not going to work if I kept going without knowing this thing. And I actually didn't write for 4 days while I figured this out. So the first thing I thought was, it's a con artist. Con artists routinely prey on refugees. It would make perfect sense. They're trying to strip him of all his money. Well, what kind of money is a kid like this going to have? I mean, if Hadrian was 25, you might expect him to be a lot wealthier than if he's a kid traveling alone. Now, you could posit that a kid traveling alone away from a war zone that's got a compartment all to himself on the passenger liner has access to cash that he might be able to pull, like family fortune. So that could work. But as I toyed with that, I realized it wasn't going to lead me anywhere story-wise that was going to give the character the arc that I had unintentionally set up. So I sorted through a whole bunch of other possibilities until I came to the idea that his missing aunt, and I'd established early on that his aunt was missing because she was involved with the resistance, that his missing aunt had access to some kind of state secret that was really important to the war effort, and that these people figured that Hadrian might know where his aunt is or might be able to get her to talk. So suddenly it became a spy novel, and once I had that piece, and I knew what kind of game they were running on him, I wrote the rest of the story straight into the dark as well. And it wound up working really, really well. So that one's a bit of a half and half. Though, as I say that, I must admit that most stories that I write completely into the dark, especially if they're novel length instead of short stories, most of those I do have moments like that where I have written myself into a corner. I've basically set up a puzzle that I, as the author, need an answer to in order to write the next section of the book. And when that happens, I will often break from writing and just wander around in circles outside in the woods or on the beach or wherever I happen to be, wander around in circles, running permutations through my head, sort of imagining what the rest of the story could look like, not plotting it, but just there's a certain image I get in my head where it's as if you're looking down various paths as you're walking through the mountains and saying, you know, that looks like a good path, or that looks like it's going an interesting direction, or that one up there, it looks nice, but it really doesn't look like it's going anywhere. It looks like it sort of bends around and goes home. So it's sort of the creative equivalent of doing that. I'm groping my way around trying to find a likely path. And occasionally I will go down the wrong one. And I've just had this happen with the new Lantham book that I'm writing now. I stalled out on it 8 months ago. Hadn't had a chance to get back to it. I stalled out on it pretty hard and was worried that it was just not going to be a workable book. So now it's time to come back to it. A couple of days ago, I printed out the whole book, and I went through with a pen and ink to try to figure out where I'd broken it. And I found the place where it was broken. I had gone with a storyline that was emotionally really, really punchy, really gut punchy. It would have been great. But plot-wise, it didn't work at all, and character-wise, it only kind of worked. And I realized that I was never going to be able to get away with it, even if the readers let me have a pass, my subconscious was not going to let me have a pass, so I had to read back and figure out where the breakpoint was. And I drew a line through the manuscript at that point, and then after that point, I cut very aggressively anything I didn't think I'd be able to use later. Then I went back into the word processor, duplicated those cuts, pushed the emotional punch down in the manuscript to the bottom, because it's going to turn out to be the climax of the story, or one of the climaxes of the story. It's going to turn out to be the climax of the character story. I pushed it all the way down, and then a couple of nights ago I got to writing on it again, and I'm now running the story in a new direction that seems to me a lot more promising. So, I hope that gives you an idea. Sometimes it's writing directly into the dark, sometimes it's writing with a bit of a map, sometimes it's writing with the destination in mind. It all depends on the story and how much I feel like I've got a good sense of what's going on. I wish I could be more specific in terms of that feeling that I look for that tells me that I can just let go and trust myself versus things aren't completely baked and the story is missing an idea. But that's probably something that's different for every person anyway. So I guess another way to say it is, if it's going to be a super complicated book, I will often resort to notes of some kind. If there are intense structural demands on it because of the format, I will actually do the rough equivalent of outlining for the structure. Otherwise, usually a strong concept, a strong idea that I want to explore, whether it's a character idea or a plot idea or a premise, is enough to get me going and usually enough to get me through, but sometimes there are bumps along the way where I have to stop and reconsider. So thank you very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty McKeon and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.